Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits and our service in the park. And if you're online, welcome. We are so glad that you've joined us. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. And so we're going to begin our service today by reading our mission statement. And so if you already know it by heart, I invite you to say it with me. And if you don't, I invite you just to take it in. It says, "We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world." And so that's exactly what we are up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to get back in touch with the truth that, yes, that infinite presence lives within us. That presence that is a presence of peace and love and truth and wholeness and authentic power lives within us. It is innate to our own beingness. Because what happens is, as we come to recognize that, it puts us in a place of power. And it puts us in a place of choice, because then we aren't such victims to what happens in the world. When the world is reflecting to us something that does not look like peace, we can anchor back into the peace that lives inside of us. When people aren't being loving, we aren't reliant on them being loving in order for us to be loving. We can tap into that love of the divine presence that is our own spiritual essence and bring love into a conversation, into a relationship, into a circumstance. And as we do that, we act as a beneficial presence in this world, and we act as a healing presence in this world. And so as we do that, because we are connected to everyone and everything and part of humanity, as we evolve, we add to the collective evolution of humanity because we are connected to each other. And so I thank every single one of you for answering this call of your own spirit to be walking this path and to be bringing that divine presence into this world in your own unique and lovely way. So thank you for that. And so I'm going to invite Barbara Conant up in a moment. Oh, I'm so sorry, Carol. I didn't know that. I'm going to invite Carol Borwick up here, our practitioner, in a moment. She's going to lead us in an evocation and do a contemplative reading for us. And so what I invite you to do is just to begin to kind of settle into yourself. We're going to sing the song "We Are" by Denise Rosier that will take us into a place of greater stillness. And so I invite you to sing along or to just take the words in, but to allow yourself to become centered and to let go of everything else and just to be here.
How wonderful it is to be in our holy place, to just take a breath and be grounded in spirit right here and right now. And I know that wherever we are in a holy place, for spirit is always with us. And I know this morning that as I and as each of us turn within, we turn to that peace and calmness. We turn into wisdom and clarity. We turn into strength. We turn into joy. And we turn into all the love that there is everything that we could desire and need is already here for us. The abundance of God is already ours, and we turn within to recognize that and to accept it. How blessed we are to be together today in this beautiful setting. I bless Reverend Jennifer and her message this morning and the knowledge that she shares with us. I know that each person is inspired in our own personal spiritual journey. I bless Ray and every person who's helped make our service perfect this morning, and the practitioners in their work for our community. I bless every person here, every person who is on the video watching, and I ask you silently to go within your heart and in your mind, and with me, send our blessings to every person in the world. And with gratitude for this day, I say, and so it is. Good morning. Today I've chosen a reading from the Science of Mind magazine, and it is by Reverend Joan Steadman. It is titled Safe and Secure in God. In any situation, we are at choice. We can choose to focus our attention on conditions or on truth. The conditions of our lives are effects, which include physical, mental, and emotional aspects of our experiences. Truth is the infinite, invisible first cause, that which is real, eternal, and absolute. While conditions are changeable and unstable, truth is permanent and constant. Peace and security can only be experienced in the realm of truth. Whenever we look to the outer world for our safety and protection of any kind, we set ourselves up for disappointment. By their very nature, effects are always changing because new causation is continually being set in motion. Eventually, the very structure we depend upon must change to some degree. If we are attached to them, we ultimately lose any sense of peace we thought we had. True safety and peace can only be found in God, that presence which is our life. As we establish the practice of living from the inside out with our attention on the true self, we move through this human experience in trust and confidence. Nothing can shake or disturb us because we know who we are. We have discovered true peace, for God is our safety and security. And so it is.
Thank you, Carol. And so today, I'm actually doing questions and answers in the Science of Mind, questions and answers about Centers for Spiritual Living and the philosophy and what it is we do. So I'm going to kind of give you my own two cents about some things, as well as what Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, had to say about it. And so my first question is, and the questions came from you, and so the first question is, how would you explain religious science in a simplified manner to someone who is unfamiliar with it? One of the things that I would say is that we believe at Centers for Spiritual Living that there is only one power and one presence, and that power and presence is that thing that is called God or spirit or life itself or the divine, or even some people refer to it as the universe. And that that one power and that one presence is everywhere present, in and through and around everything. not just is it in and through and around everything, but it expresses as everything that we see in this material world. Therefore, that presence is the essential nature of everything and everyone. That presence expresses itself as intelligence and love, as harmony and order and perfection, as a presence of good. In fact, it is a force for good. I would say that we experience that presence in our lives as we align ourselves with it in our thinking and in our feeling. That means when you are loving towards others, you will experience the love of God inside of you. When you let go of struggle and strife, you will experience the peace that already exists, that is already at the center of your being. We teach that we co-create our lives not just through our actions, but that we actually co-create our lives through our thinking and through our beliefs and through our attitudes and through our openness to the good that's always available. But if somebody were asking you what it is that we teach or what it is that we believe, what I would really do is choose the things that you like most about this philosophy. And I would talk about that. Maybe you really like the fact that God is love. Or maybe you really like the fact that oneness is the truth, that we are one with everyone and everything, that there's no separation. I would pick the aspects that speak to your heart and speak to them. Also, it depends who's asking you and what they're asking. You might just talk about our mission statement, because I see that you all know it by now as you're able to repeat it without having it in front of you. I would talk about, you know what? We are all about being a beneficial presence in this world. And we become a beneficial presence when we come to recognize our own spiritual nature, and that that presence of the divine, by whatever name you call it, lives within us. You could talk about that. Ken Gordon, in the preface of the Science of Mind textbook, he was the Centers for Spiritual Living leader for years. He said, Holmes is taking the common truths found in most religion, then has removed the concept of fear, leaving only the love, with the general idea being that love is synonymous with God, and fear is made by man. And so we are a religion that is about love. Reverend Karen Fry, who is a minister that I just adore out of Dallas, she said, love is my religion. Science of mind is my faith and my way of life. I like that. And so my second question is, what name is best to use? Religious science, science of mind, or Centers for Spiritual Living? Well, religious science is the philosophy, and science of mind is the teachings, and Centers for Spiritual Living is the organization. So let me tell you about that. And so religious science is the philosophy, and we also used to be known as the Church of Religious Science. So when I look up the word philosophy, it says religious science is a spiritual philosophy that deals with the unity of all life, which proclaims that God power exists at the center of everything. And the science of mind teachings, the science of mind is the science of laws of thought as they pertain to our relationship to the universal creative mind and to health, happiness, and success. So the science of mind is those teachings that we talk about mind and about the law and about how our consciousness is creative and about how we change our thinking in order to change our life. That's the science of mind, how our thoughts and our energy and our focus and our attention and our beliefs and our attitudes, how that draws to us or repels from us according to what it is that we believe. Ernest Holmes said, the science of mind is not a new religion. It may be added to any spiritual system of thought and is a complement to all. And then Centers for Spiritual Living is our name. We used to be called the Church of Religious Science, and it seems like it was about 20 years ago that our name was changed to Centers for Spiritual Living because So often people would confuse it with Scientology or Christian Science. You'd say, what church do you go to? And they'd see, you'd say, the Church of Religious Science. They go, oh, is that Scientology? And both of those, I don't know if you've watched any of the things Leah Remini on TV, that Scientology is absolutely a cult and scary. And Christian Science, we are actually related to that. It's kind of a cousin, but Christian scientists are the ones that do not believe in going to doctors. That if you cannot heal through your own consciousness, that it's a crisis of faith. And so, Centers for Spiritual Living is the name. So, religious science is the philosophy. Science and Minds are the teachings about the law and the creative thought. And Centers for Spiritual Living is the organization that we are part of. And so my third question is, do I refer to it as a religion or a philosophy or both? Both. We are a religion and we are a philosophy. In fact, in the Science of Mind textbook, it says, Science of Mind is a philosophy, a faith, and a way of life. A religion means a fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of people. A set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. And a philosophy is an opinion about something, an opinion we hold about the world. And so at Centers for Spiritual Living, we do both, right? We have a set of beliefs, what we believe, like the core concepts. We have a set of practices, like spiritual mind treatment and meditation, using affirmations. So those fundamental beliefs that make us a religion are like those core concepts. The concept of oneness. That God, that one, is the source of everything. That one is in and through everything, and that we are all a part of that one. That's one of the core concepts of religious science. That prayer, we teach prayer. And the teaching underneath that is that all conceivable good is already available, but somehow we increase that good in our lives through prayer and through acceptance and through affirmation, through changing our thinking. We teach that abundance is, that all good is already provided. We teach the concept of immortality, that life never ends for any of us, that it just changes form. We teach forgiveness and that there is no place for divine anger or judgment or unforgiveness or punishment in that presence of God, because that presence of God is love. And so that is what makes us a religion, is those things. However, as you all know, and probably all appreciate, because I certainly do, there is very little dogma in this philosophy. And dogma is the principles or tenets that are authoritatively laid down concerning faith and morals and behavior. We don't tell you how to behave in this church. We teach you how to change your thinking, how to embody and be aware of your own spirit and the presence of the divine. And as you do that, your behavior automatically changes. Ernest Holmes said, how are we going to know what is right and what is wrong? We are not going to know. We already know. Every person knows right from wrong in the broadest sense. So as we awaken to our own spiritual nature, our spirit drives our behavior. And I would ask all of you, how has your behavior changed since you've been walking this path? Have you become more kind and more generous and more caring about people you don't even know? Have you become more open-hearted and more accepting and less judgmental? I remember when, you're going to have to change your camera there, Ray. I remember when I think I was in practitioner training and I had gone Christmas shopping one time and bought two pairs of Levi's jeans for someone for a Christmas present. And they were on sale, which was awesome. And I paid the cash at the cashier register. And then I walked away and I thought to myself, you know, that doesn't seem right. That number doesn't seem right. So I got my receipt out. And sure enough, she had only charged me for one of the pairs of jeans. You know, in my younger life, I would have been thrilled that I got away with not having to pay for that other pair of jeans. But as I am more spirit-driven, that wasn't right. That wasn't in integrity with my own being. And so I ended up going back to the cash register and telling her that she hadn't charged me for that pair and paid for the other pair, and she was so thankful. We become inner-driven by our own sense of rightness and our own sense of who we are and our own wholeness, our own goodness, our own love, our own authentic nature as we walk this path. Ernest Holmes said in The Science of Mind, the whole purpose of the science of mind is to reconcile the apparent separation of the spiritual world with the material world. It's all about bringing our spirituality to life and seeing the spiritual nature of life and the spiritual nature of everything that we do and everything that we're involved in. And I think to recognize also that those qualities of spirit, like wholeness and abundance and good and love and peace, all of that is always present and available also. That's reconciling the spiritual world with the physical world. And my next question says, what does Ernest Holmes mean when he says that God is a self-existent cause? Well, a self-existent cause means that something has always existed, that it is not caused by something or someone. And that phrase, a self-existent cause, comes out of Ernest Holmes' What We Believe, which says, we believe in God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. And so when we look at that, I really think it starts with looking at how are we defining God? Because if you remember, Ernest Holmes called God mind, mind with a capital M, which today we would call consciousness. Everything is made out of that consciousness, which is intelligence and energy that imbues everything, and everything has sprung forth out of intelligence and energy. So if we start there, that means nothing caused consciousness to be. Nothing caused intelligence to come into being. Consciousness always was. Intelligence always was. It's a principle that always existed. Nobody made that. It just always existed. And so we talk about the fact that God is love, and that God is that life principle that lives within each one of us. And we also talk about that God is all of those qualities. Not just does God possess peace, but God is peace. God is harmony and order and perfection. God is creativity and power and beauty and life itself. So God is a principle of wholeness and power and beauty and life, perfection and creativity. Nothing caused those principles to come into being. They simply are and always have been. So God isn't a being like a man sitting up in the sky. Instead, God is beingness itself, the beingness of everything, the beingness within everything, and that has always been. And so the next question is, how does Centers for Spiritual Living view evil? Well, let's look at what does evil mean. And I think when we talk about something or someone being evil, we're talking about something being harmful, right? It's harmful to something or someone. Religious Science, Centers for Spiritual Living, teach that evil is not a power. There isn't a power for evil because we don't believe in the devil, but evil certainly is an experience that people have on this planet. Pretty soon I'll be right up there with you. And so really that experience of evil is really caused from what I would call a lack of light. Right? It's a lack of being spiritually awake. Just like I shared about taking those Levi's back. When we are spiritually awake, we act differently than when we are asleep. And so, let me give you an example. Say that abundance is the nature of life, right? It's the nature of life. And when I come to know that that is the truth, I have a spiritual awakening that abundance is the nature of life, then I don't need to steal or to take from someone else that which you might call evil. When I know that wholeness is my own divine essence, and that I have authentic power within me, that is the power of the divine, then I don't need to have power over someone else. Then I won't cause harm to someone else. I look at that when you look at atrocities of somebody kidnapping someone or raping someone. That person is coming from such a sense of their own brokenness, their own not enoughness, their own people stealing or even murdering. Someone's going to take mine and I'm not going to get it. They're coming, they're so asleep to spiritual principle and to spiritual truth. And that's what creates that experience of evil in the world. Does that make sense? In the Science of Mind textbook, it says, one of the most illuminating things which mysticism has revealed is that evil is not an ultimate reality. Evil is not an entity, but an experience on the pathway of self-unfoldment. It is not a thing of itself, but simply a misuse of power. It will disappear when we stop looking at it or indulging in it. It will disappear when we stop participating in it. There's not a power that can keep it going. When we, as humanity, quit participating in it, it will disappear because there's no power to keep it going. We are called to turn from evil and to do good. In the Metaphysical Dictionary, evil says, evil is not a thing in itself, but it is an absence of what is felt to be good or pleasing, as darkness is an absence of light. At times, what appears to be destructive is only a vehicle for change. And we've certainly seen that in these last few years in this world. A lot of things that look destructive and harmful that really are just a part of the change that is coming, the forcing us, the labor pains of giving birth to something different in this world. Ernest Holmes also talks about the impersonal nature of evil. He says the belief that 2 plus 2 equals 5 never alters the fact that 2 and 2 only makes 4. The belief that 2 and 2 makes 5, it does not belong to anyone. It is merely operating through someone's ignorance. That evil is just the energy of life operating through someone's ignorance in a way that causes harm to other, out of ignorance, out of fear. And the next question is, what are the limitations of doing spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer? Really, there are no limitations. There are no limitations as long as you are not causing harm to anyone else. Ernest Holmes says, the criteria for any person as to what is wrong and right for them is not to be found in another person's judgment. The criteria is, does the thing I wish to do express more life, more happiness, more peace to myself, and at the same time harm no one? If it does, it is right. It is not selfish. But if it is done at the expense of anyone, then in such degree we are making a wrong use of the law. So there is no limitation. We can do affirmative prayer for anything that it is that we want. He also says, this is from practical application in the Science of Mind, he says, we do pray with a quiet, calm assurance that we can have anything that we mentally accept, that the law immediately swings into action to that end and will create for us what it is we believe in and have faith in. And so when we do affirmative prayer, we aren't manipulating the world. We aren't manipulating anything out there. We're not manipulating people. What we're doing is we are treating our mind. We are treating our consciousness. We are changing our thinking and getting our limited thinking out of the way so that which already is can make itself known in our lives. can express itself in our lives. It's getting our own littleness out of the way. And when we move out of that limited thinking and into an expanded awareness of reality with a capital R, like that peace is ever available and that love is the nature of everything, when we move into reality and we open ourselves to it, that is how we create a demonstration. So we are removing our doubts and our fears and our limitations so we can experience that which is already available. And what about when you are doing spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer for other people? You know, I say we don't know what is best for another person. I used to work Ministry of Prayer downtown LA and had some lady call me wanting me to treat for her granddaughter to get married to this guy or whatever. I don't know what is best for someone, so I am going to ask a person what they want treatment for, what they want prayer for, what they want me to know for them, because they know best. And if you have the inclination to pray for someone through affirmative prayer, what I would say, and you don't know what is right for them, to pray for divine right action in their life. Because divine right action means the divine knows what is best. The presence of the infinite knows what is best. And as all you're doing is creating an opening in your own consciousness, convincing your own self that that's already happening so that there is an opening for it in this material world to come forward. We have two more questions. The next one says, when we do affirmative prayer for someone, are we sending them our thoughts? Are we holding thoughts for them or about them? We aren't sending thoughts. We don't send anybody thoughts. We say, I'm sending you my love, or I'm sending you some good energy. We aren't sending our thoughts. Is all we're doing is knowing the truth in our own minds. Is all we're doing is convincing ourselves. We are healing our own unbelief. And wherever there is an opening, if that person is open to that healing, there will be a manifestation. If that person isn't open to that healing, there might be manifestation, but they certainly cannot maintain it or sustain it. But wherever there is an opening, so even if you are treating for health for someone, anywhere on this planet where someone is open to experiencing health, that prayer can manifest for that person as well. Because our mind is part of that collective mind, and so is everyone else's. And so what is known in mind one place is known in mind collectively and creates a space for healing to happen. Holmes says, it is not the person that heals. It's not you doing the prayer that heals. But it's a principle operating through you that creates the healing. And we're not holding thoughts. He said, in affirmative prayer, we do not hold thoughts. We do not concentrate. Demonstrations are not made by willing, by mental coercion, or by spiritual concentration, but rather through a silent recognition of the truth, the capital T. Capital T truth, and the spiritual perfection in any situation. The correct recognition results in the right demonstration. And then my last question is, when doing spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, I've always had trouble identifying the difference between unification and realization. Are there any specific words that would help me know the difference? And so the affirmative prayer that we do is a five-step prayer. And it is recognition, unification, realization, thanksgiving, and release. And so in recognition, that first step, we are recognizing God. We are recognizing that God is the one power and the one presence and the one life and the one beingness and the one source of everything. We are recognizing also that God is love and peace and wholeness and power and good without end. Unending abundance is the nature of God. That one presence and one power fills all of time and all of space with its beingness. It's the only power that exists. And so the words in that first step are God is. And then fill in the blank. Whatever you feel and know to be true, God is. Unification was also called identification, which makes so much more sense to me because to unify means to me to bring two things together. We're bringing ourselves and God together, but we've never been separate in the first place. But instead, I'm identifying myself with that presence of spirit. I'm identifying with God in me, God through me, God as me, God is me. I'm recognizing that. And so some of the words that you might say are things like, I am an expression of that one power and presence. I am an individuation of life itself. You, if you are treating for something other than yourself, but you're treating for a situation in your life, to say that, my life is the outpicturing of spirit. There's no separation between my life and the life of God. If you are doing a prayer for a particular situation, say you're praying for something about your work, having new work, the work that I do is that presence unfolding itself in this world. If I'm treating about my relationship is that divine presence in action. So you're identifying whatever it is that you're praying about with that presence of spirit. And so the words for that second step is I am. God is in the first step, I am in the second step. And the third step is realization. It's where we make our affirmation. It's where we declare what it is that we want is already present, is already available. Because God is always in the moment. We are stepping outside of time and space into the truth that never changes. That which you're not Barbara, you're Carol. That which Carol read this morning, there's a changeless truth. We are stepping out of the relative into the changeless truth, which always exists in the now that is always present. So we claim it now because we're speaking from that place of truth. So now my relationship is harmonious and healthy and balanced and lovely. Whatever your affirmation is that you're claiming, you're realizing the capital T truth about the thing you're praying for. You're praying for your work. My perfect work is already available and I'm being led to it now. And so the words for that section for the realization is, therefore, God is, I am, therefore, this is what the truth is in my experience. And then we give thanksgiving for knowing the truth, give thanks for knowing the truth, and we release it into that universal law which brings back to us according to our beliefs and according to our acceptance. And so that is it for my questions. You all have an understanding of Science of Mind and Centers for Spiritual Living and Religious Science.
Oh, thank you.
And so I invite you to join me in that affirmative prayer. And so we begin, yes, by recognizing truly that God is everywhere present. That God is the very essence of life. God is love and peace and good without end. That God is the beginningless and endless source and power in this universe that is always present. That is always present in me, always present through me, always present in my life because it is my life. Because God is life itself. And so I recognize that each and every single one of us is an outpicturing of that presence. That it animates us, that it lifts us, that it carries us, that it buoys us, that it guides us on our paths. And therefore, I recognize that everything that we long for, every heartfelt dream, we are being led. Every heartfelt dream, whether it's for our own individual selves or for this world, is that divine presence knocking at our hearts, saying this way. And so today we step into life as conduits of that presence, bringing good with us wherever we go, in whatever we do. that we are blessed and we are a blessing. And so I speak this word also about this entire world, that this entire world and every person in it is spirit in form. That every single one of us has the fullness of the divine presence within our hearts. It is the essence of our spirits. It is the one mind that we think with and that thinks through us. And so today I know that as we all step into the light, we are the light. And that we act as that light and act as a healing presence in this world. That we come together in oneness. We come together in love. We come together in high intention of a healthy world, of healthy people, where people's needs are met and people are cared for and loved and valued. And so it is with that that I give thanks for knowing this truth. I give thanks for understanding the presence of spirit and all that it is all around me to the degree that I understand it. And so I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it does not return unto me void, but that it is unfolding itself all around me now, because it is the truth, because I have claimed it so, and because I have accepted it. And so I invite you with me to say, and so it is. And I'm going to invite Carol Borwick up now to share our affirmation that's
not
on Barbara, your handout.
Thank you, Reverend Jennifer. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
We all learned something.
Yeah.
Didn't we?
Good.
Or remembered something that we forgot, maybe. So good. Wonderful. So I hope you have your bulletin with the affirmation. You'll join me in saying, today I revel in the divine presence that always surrounds me, envelops me, and supports me in living my best life. I am grateful for my spiritual path, my spiritual community, and life itself. And so it is.
And so I have just a couple of invitations for you. One is that if you'd like to join us, we are doing a group concert in the park this coming Thursday at Del Valle Park. It's going to be 60s and 70s music. The plan is that Joy Janes and I think Pat and Mike are going to go during the day and put blankets out and stuff to save some space for us. So talk to Joy if you intend to go, so we make sure that we have space for you. I don't know, do you want people to give you blankets and that kind of stuff?
There's probably not going to be time because I'm going to be away Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so
okay.
There's no way to get them to me.
Okay.
So,
all right. So talk
bring
to
chairs.
Bring, oh yeah, so the blankets will be holding space. Bring your chair to sit in. I mean, you can sit on a blanket if you want to, but you'd be much more comfortable in a chair. Yeah, for people to put their chairs. And the other one just is that you already know we are looking for a new home, so if you have any ideas and would like to share them with me or with Chris Braunschweiger, we'd love to hear them. And we are on hiatus right now from Connection and Spiritual Practice. We're going to do a class or something else instead, so I'll let you know as soon as we know that. And that's it for my invitations this week. Know that you are loved and that we are so happy that you are a part of this family. Oh, we have an offering. I tell ya.
Oh, darn.
All right. If you brought an offering today, I invite you to bring your offering up. Somebody remind me.
That's about the wrong thing we could get, huh? Good job.
Yeah. And so I'll come back here in the shade. We will close this service by doing a blessing of this offering. And so I invite you to join me. And so I do bless this offering today from a place of gratitude. Gratitude for this center. Gratitude for this philosophy that supports us in living our best lives. Gratitude for life itself. Gratitude for that infinite presence that is always where we are. And so I bless this offering today, knowing that in turn it blesses us today and blesses everyone who is to come here in the future. For this is transmuted into ministry, so that we might be here as this beacon of light, as this place of remembering, of this place of coming home to our own selves, to our own spiritual nature. So I bless this offering, I bless this community, and I invite you one more time to send a blessing out into this world with me, to every heart and every home and every person. And I say thank you, God, and so it is.
So it is.